May the mind of Christ dwell in us richly. That is an amazing prayer for all of us today as we think about what it means to live out the faith that we have. As we start this morning, I'm going to read a passage from Jeremiah, the prophet, and then we're going to look at the second part of chapter 1 of James as we continue in our James study today. So this is Jeremiah 31, starting with verse 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And now turning over to James, this is the first chapter, starting with verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you for your cleansing power, for your perfect law that gives freedom. We humbly accept the word you have to say to us today. Speak through the power of your Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it is beautiful to have springtime. If we all have to be locked in our respective houses, I am so grateful that outside is becoming beautiful. We're seeing the flowers start to bloom. The red buds are starting to shine in the midst of the trees. And we can be reminded that there is new life, even in the midst of this strange pandemic. A few years ago, when I first moved to Pennsylvania, I was living south of here, and we had a hard winter. I didn't see the grass in my front yard for more than a month. And then early in the spring, my mom called and said, hey, is anything blooming in your little flower garden? My flower garden was about this big. It was, you know, maybe 3 feet wide and full of weeds. But all of a sudden, daffodils started springing up. And she's like, so is anything blooming? And I said, yeah, there's daffodils. They're really pretty. And mom said, yeah, I planted them when you moved in last year. Wasn't that an incredible gift that was a surprise that she had been holding on to for months? Those flowers that she had planted there sprang up and brought me joy and reminded me that there is hope, there's life, there is life after winter, there is life after this bizarre winter that we've been having right now. As we think about the scripture today in the passage in James, he talks about that humbly accepting the word that is planted in you. What has been planted in you? I didn't know that this weed patch that was in the front of my house had something special planted in it. It was a gift, but when it rose up, when it finally budded and bloomed, it brought sunshine to the neighborhood because my mom cared enough to plant that in my little flower patch. As we think about what it means to have the word of Christ planted in us, we think about that image of the flower patch. What weeds are trying to choke out the flowers? What is causing them not to grow well? Are there things that we need to sweep away and clean out so that those flowers can blossom and grow? Or if they're fruit or vegetable plants, how can we get the gunk out from around them so that they can flourish and grow and bear much fruit, so that they can provide food and nurture for other people? So as we look at this passage today, I want us to think about what that means for our hearts and for our lives, not just what's inside of us, but what comes out of us and how we serve others as well. As we look at the passage in Jeremiah, it's an incredible promise of the covenant that God says is coming. You can remember that the Israelites have been working under the covenant of the law. They have been working under a whole list of things, and it's external. It's holding them back. It's reminding them that all of these things out there are what needs to change. But God says what is inside, he is going to plant a new covenant inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, so that it will no longer be external, but it will come up out of us. And James is wanting to emphasize this. You'll see throughout the book of James this moving back and forth between faith and works. James is not saying that we need to earn God's love by doing works. What he's saying is that we need to live out our faith. Pastor Steve always says, how we live is a response to the grace that we have gotten through Jesus Christ. That our actions, our words, is all a response. Is how we respond reflecting on what has been planted in our hearts? If we think about this, it's not just about the flowers. The flowers take a lot of work. I am not good at flowers. I do have some houseplants. They are still alive. That's rare. I tend to keep houseplants that don't need a lot of water, and then I train them to be drought resistant. But fortunately, I have a couple that will let me know when they need water. They start wilting and telling me that they're dying, and then I can water them again. And the other plants are grateful that these will let me know what their needs are. But when we think about what it takes to tend and nurture the Word of God that has been planted in us, we have to think about all that goes into that. What are the weeds that are in our lives right now? When it talks about everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. In times of great stress, isn't it easy to be quick to speak, slow to listen, and very quick to become angry? It's like our fuses get really short when we are under a lot of stress. I find myself having to catch myself over and over and over when something doesn't go my way, because it feels like nothing is going our way. And so when something is right in front of us, it's easy to get angry. But James is saying to take out the weeds of anger, to take out the weeds of talking too much. Learn how to cultivate listening. I read a funny story about Socrates this week. Socrates was brought in a new student who was supposed to learn rhetoric from him, and the student wouldn't stop talking. So Socrates finally said, okay, well, I'm just going to have to charge you double. And the student said, what are you talking about? And he said, first I need to teach you how to stop talking, then I need to teach you how to speak. It's that kind of thing. God needs to teach us how to stop talking, how to be quiet long enough to be able to hear him. As we dig out these weeds, we dig out, anger is a really important weed to dig up out of us. The scripture talks about a root of bitterness that can grow up in us. Often a root of bitterness comes from unforgiveness. Is there unforgiveness in your heart about anything? Think about Jesus Christ on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many times do we want to hold a grudge and not forgive somebody until they get what they did wrong? But God is saying, forgive them anyway. Let go of that root of bitterness, which is poisoning in our hearts, and it's choking the plants that God wants to raise up in our lives. God wants us to be a cleared out flower bed so that all of the good plants can grow well. The hard thing is, when we think about this, sometimes we think, oh, it's just weeds, it's fine. But we're not realizing that it's not just weeds, it's poison ivy. It's things that can hurt people. and cause longer-term damage. If we are supposed to be bearing vegetables, you can't harvest vegetables that are in the middle of a poison ivy patch. Those need to be gotten out and destroyed, because it's preventing people from accessing what is good. It's easy to think, it's just fine, I'll leave it alone, but it's not just fine. We need to constantly be asking the Lord to help weed out the muck that is in our hearts. So he says, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Humbly accept. What an incredibly powerful phrase. Humbly accept. Humbly accepting is receiving something, it's welcoming something, and it's submitting to it. Some people look at the Bible under a microscope. They want to analyze it and tear it apart and pick it to pieces. But, you know, we're really supposed to be under the microscope of Scripture, of God, so that he can look down into our hearts and examine us and expose the weeds and help us clean up that through his power of Christ's blood to clean us up. So when we humbly accept, we say, as Jesus did, not my will, but yours be done. How do we humbly accept, lay ourselves down in front of the Lord? It is hard for us, I think, especially as Americans. We're used to being independent and doing whatever we want. It's my right to do such and such. But God is saying, if you humbly accept this, this will change your heart and change your life. God will weed the flower bed for us. He will set us free to be who he is calling us to be. As he talks about this, as he talks about letting that word grow and that's been planted in you to flourish and to bring salvation, he then reminds us to not just be hearers of the word, but be doers also. To not just hear it, but also do it. It's funny because it uses an analogy of someone who looks at their face in a mirror. In those days, mirrors were just polished bronze or polished silver, so they weren't real clear. But we can see ourselves pretty darn clearly now in mirrors these days. But I don't know about you, I don't look at the mirror very much right now, because I don't have anybody at home to worry about what I look like. So every now and then, if I've got my hair clipped up in all kinds of ways, I pass the mirror and go, yeah, because I've got the hair sticking up everywhere. It's funny that only matters then if I have a Zoom meeting, a call that I have to be on and people can actually see my picture. But most of the time, it doesn't even matter. But if you do know that you are about to encounter somebody and you look at the mirror, you realize you need to have some fixing up to do. I always am extra careful when I'm about to record a sermon. But God wants us to use the Bible as a mirror, to use it to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves and to see where we're sticking up in the wrong places, where we have smudges and dirt, where we need to wash our clothes clean. God wants us to use the Word of God as a mirror. This is the reflection we're supposed to have. We're supposed to be reflecting the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, the words of Christ, not the words of our bitter, broken heart. We're supposed to be speaking the sweet words of Jesus Christ. And as we ask the Lord to show us, to reveal our appearance, that is when we start to internalize the word. We aren't just hearing it, but we're realizing that it needs to change how we think on the inside and how we act on the outside as well. It's interesting to think about what it means to be contagious Christians in this day and age. I mean, everything that we have is about contagion. I do have my mask right here that I wore right until the camera turned on. We are all trying to do what we can to not be contagious. But as Christians, we are supposed to share the love and joy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be contagious as we do that? I think by letting the flowers that God has planted in us, the word of God that has been planted in us, flourish and grow and bloom, that is going to bless many other people. As God talks about what it looks like to see yourself in the mirror, he then says, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We will be able to, as we see the perfect law, we are set free. in Jesus Christ. The interesting thing is that a lot of people see Christianity to see that the faith that we are called to live out as bondage. They want to do whatever they want to do, and that they think is freedom. But that is actually bondage, and following the Lord is actually freedom. Anger can be a deep bondage. As I said about the root of bitterness, when that is what is planted in you, if that's what's eating you alive, you don't have the freedom to worship. You don't have the freedom to rejoice, to take pleasure in the beautiful things, the simple things of God and relationships. If you're constantly criticizing other people as you're watching them or listening to them talk, that robs you of the joy of savoring that relationship, savoring the unique person that person has been created to be. As we think about the bondage of sin, the things that it traps us in, versus the freedom that God creates in us, the freedom to love even if we're not loved in return, the freedom to forgive even if the person doesn't get it, the freedom to bless others because we have been blessed first, the freedom to love because we have been loved first. That is what truly sets our heart free and lets us be the people God has created us to be. As we look at the final paragraph of this chapter, it says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. As we think about this, I'm reminded of a Netflix show I saw one time. If you're into gardening at all, you may have seen it go across your list. Monty Don is a British guy. He goes to different countries and describes their gardens and history and that kind of thing. And he has one show that's on French gardens. And it's beautiful. It's amazing to see all of these different gardens and how they've been planned. And it really is breathtaking. But he goes to this one particular French chateau that's got the most elaborate, what's called a kitchen garden you've ever seen. It's flowering fruit trees, it's vegetables, it's all of these different things in this incredibly ornate, precise, gridded out, beautiful garden. But as he was talking to the caregivers, they were bragging about how beautiful it was. And then Monty asked, okay, so what do you do with the produce from this garden? And they almost sneered at him that, well, we just throw it away. That's not the point of this garden. It's just to make beautiful fruit, but it's not actually to eat it. That's what reminds me of this passage. When we have the beautiful the fruits, the beautiful flowering plants of the Word of God, if we can be the most gorgeous garden ever, but if that garden is not producing fruit to feed people, what is the point? It is easy to get caught up in the image. It's easy to get caught up in all of the things that we can know and accumulate and put on the shelves in our brain. But unless we are bearing fruit that then blesses other people, that is a dead religion. It's so important these days to be thinking about that. How can we take care of orphans and widows in their distress? How can we take care of our neighbors in distress, the older generations of your family? How can we take care of Africans in distress right now? You think it's hard for you to live in quarantine right now? Imagine trying to live in quarantine with no running water. What is it like to need to wash your hands every so often and not have water to do so? What does it mean, look like when being under a lockdown order means starvation? We need to be thinking about how we can love and serve and bless and bear fruit for these other people way outside of ourselves so that God can live in us and bless others so that the fruit of the gospel can go out. We are in a unique time in history. There hasn't been anything like this in 100 years, but yet God is calling us to be not only a beautiful flowering plant, but a rich garden that will feed others. We need to feed with literal food, with non-perishable goods that we can drop at somebody's house, but we also need to feed with the most important fruit that there is, and that is the fruit of the gospel. Jesus Christ has a gift for people that they need right now, almost more than ever before. People are dying. People are scared. People are facing hardship that they've never faced before. And it is the fruit of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that people are starving for. You and I need to be ready to bear fruit of that nature. We need to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to bless others in the way that we have been blessed with. As God cleans us up, as he weeds out our garden, as he plants the word of God deeply, deeply within us, that is when you and I can bear much fruit and share it and bless others as well. May God work in your heart and in my heart. May he change us. May he weed out the roots of bitterness and all of the poisonous vines and anything else that may be accumulated in our garden, so that we might truly bear fruit to his glory and for the blessing of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for us. Holy God, we thank you that your word is good. It is true. It is rich. It is powerful. Lord God, we ask that you would come in and speak in our hearts right now, that you would touch us, that you would weed out all of the gunk that needs to come out of our lives, out of our hearts. Lord, forgive us for the moral filth, the evil, the gunk that is in there that is not of you. It's not just clutter. It's evil. It's poison ivy. And Lord, we need you to get rid of it. Forgive us, Lord, for the things that have been interfering with all that you're trying to plant in us. Lord, we pray that you would plant your flowering plants, the fruit trees, the vegetables that need to grow and bear fruit to your glory. We ask that we would be able to not only exhibit your grace, but to be able to distribute it to those in need, whether in tangible ways or in intangible ways. Lord God, we do pray for so many around us that are hurting right now. Those in our own city who are sick or are just scared or out of work. Those who are trying to care for people. All of the different scenarios that people are struggling in. And Lord, we do look beyond our borders to think about the incredibly poor countries that are having this disease infiltrate slums where there is no running water. It is heartbreaking to think about what they are facing with such limited medical equipment and all of the other technology we take for granted is not even there. Lord, help us to hear the cries of the poor. Help us to weep with those who weep. And Lord, show us how to bless others in your name. Help us know how to tend orphans and widows who are in their distress. Lord, be the husband to the widow, the father to the fatherless. Lord, shine your light in places that are full of darkness right now, and help us shine with your light as well. And Lord, we, as your dearly beloved children, are privileged to pray to you now, as Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.